Samuel chapter number 17. And how many of you glad to be in church tonight? I thought I'd get that out of you before I told you that my sermon has 9 points. Amen. I need somebody to say amen. And come on now, I need somebody to say amen. Don't get all mad right now. And anyhow, I had somebody come up to me after church this morning, and they told me, they said, "Preacher, man, you could preach another 2 hours and we'll be fine." And I thought, man, he don't know y'all like I know y'all. Somebody say amen. And anyhow, I won't be long tonight. It's just some statements. This is going to be different. I don't have a little short outline. These are some statements that I have. I had the thought on this as truths in giant warfare. And that's the way I titled the thing. And I wanted to look at some of this because I believe all of us battle a giant in some way or another. Your giant is different than mine. Can I say that? But your giant is no smaller than mine. Somebody help me right here. And a lot of us get this idea that our giant is the biggest, and everybody else is just facing little G's. But the fact of the matter is that we all have a giant that we battle and that we must face and we must defeat. Here's a perfect story. We all know the story. If you've even been in church just for a little bit, you know the story of David and Goliath. You ain't even got to be in church and to know the story of David and Goliath. But I want to pull out some truths from this and try to be a blessing to you tonight. And not trying to be long here tonight, I do have, as I mentioned, 9 statements that I'm going to make out of this chapter. I'm not going to preach them like I normally do. I just want to be an encouragement to you, and I also want to give you some truths about facing your giant. All right, we're going to take a look at verse number. We'll start in verse number 1, and probably read down to verse number 10. And the Bible says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephesus Damimon." All right. "And Saul and the men," I should have started in verse number 2 where I didn't have to do all them words, amen. All right, now, in verse number 2, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistine." Now here, the first verse basically told us that the Philistines has invaded the land of Judah and they had already come in now to fight. And here, verse number 2 lets us know that the Israelites and Saul have now come against them and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array, which means that it's now time to fight, okay? Now, verse number 3, "And the Philistines stood on a mountain on this one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." Basically, he was 9 foot, 9 inches tall. Somebody say amen. All right. "And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass." This was somewhere between 125 and 200 pounds of a jacket that he is wearing, or a coat, if you will. "And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron." That's 20 pounds. Now, that's just the tip of it. Somebody say amen right here. And me and Brother Brian's been working out, and I know y'all can't tell it, at least on my end of it. But anyhow, we do shoulders, and legs and shoulders are the days that I hate the most. Anyhow, here a few weeks back, me and Brother Brian was in there, and he went to grab the dumbbells, and they have 2 sets of each in there, but he grabbed the 15 pounders, and that's what I was going to grab. Well, anyhow, he's over there doing them, and I couldn't see any other 15 pounders. And I didn't want to go below him. Somebody say amen, right? So I grabbed the 20-pound dumbbells, and we were doing shoulders, and we were doing the side and the front lateral. Somebody say amen right there. So I grabbed two 20s, all right? And I'm holding them things in my hands, and I started off real good because I was jacked up, all right? I'm not going to let him put more weight than I am when it comes to my, you know, I just ain't going to do it. I'm bigger than he is. I'm supposed to be doing better weight than he is. So I grabbed them 20s, and man, I started, and at about a number six or number eight, somebody say, help me right here, I thought I was in hell. I'm talking about, you're looking in the mirror, he's standing over there, and I'm thinking, I can't let him see me sweat, and I'm dying. Y'all hear me? We got done with it. I said, never again. I told Brother Brian from then on, I said, I'm going with the 5-pounders or the 10-pounders or whatever. You can do whatever you want to, damage your shoulders if you want to, but I'm going with something light. Now, put that in perspective. Out on the end of this long weaver's beam, the spear is 20 pounds out there on the end of it. And this is what this giant is carrying around in battle. Bible goes on, it says there was let's see, 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. He had somebody that carried a shield for him. That's impressive to me. I don't know about you, but this is a 9-foot-9-inch tall man. He needs a pretty big shield. And he's got somebody, a man, that goes out and holds it for him. All right, now, verse number 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Now, if any of the man, this was a bad testimony for Israel. You'll remember Israel was servant to God. Israel should have had a king of God, but they demanded a king, and God gave them a king named Saul. The Bible says that Saul stood head and shoulders above all the men of Israel. He was a man of stature. He was a man that looked the part of a king. He was a man that was supposed to deliver them from their enemies. And yet here Saul is hiding in his tent. As this man comes out and defies the armies of Israel, and he calls them the servants of Saul. The Bible says, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. The Bible says in verse number 11, and when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. As we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, we're going to go all through the chapter, but we just started off reading the first 11 verses, and we kind of set up the battle and what's going on here. We see that Israel is encamped on one mountain, and Philistines are encamped on the other, and the Valley of Elah is down in the middle of them. Here, this is not an unknown practice, but a champion would be sent out to keep the body count down, if you will. This champion would come out from both sides, and they would fight to the death, and whomever won, that is how they decided battles back then in some instances, not in all instances, but in some instances. This is an example of that. And of course, if you had a champion that was 9 foot 9 inches tall and was of the stature and ability of Goliath, it seems like it's a pretty good deal. Somebody say amen. But this, as we look at it, we see this giant and we see this mammoth of a man, if you will, and we look at it in the physical sense. But tonight, once again, I want to take us back and I want to look at this in the spiritual sense. And I want to say that all of us fight a giant. I don't know what your giant is. I don't need to know what your giant is. I know what my giant is, and I have to defeat him. Somebody say amen. Now, that's something that I'm working on, and it's something that I hope that you're working on to defeat your giant. Your giant could be anything. Your giant, spiritually speaking, could be your growth, your spiritual growth. It's something that you just can't get into the routine of reading your Bible and doing for the Lord. Maybe your spiritual giant is tithing, and you can't get past the fact that you ain't got the money to tithe, or you ain't got this, and it's a giant in your life. You can say it ain't a giant in your life, but the fact of the matter is the Bible's very clear on this, that my tithing is directly related to my blessing. Somebody say amen. I need more than one person to say amen. He's the treasurer of the church. He's supposed to say amen. Everybody else, you need to understand. Our blessings are tied to that. The Bible says this. It said, well, a man robbed God. He said, how do we rob you? He said, in tithes and offerings. He said, prove me. And he said, you tithe and see if I don't dump out on you a blessing. I'm going to tell you something. One of the greatest things in my life, days in my life, is when me and my wife began to tithe and we watched God take care of bills that we could not take care of on our own. You'll see the power of God in your life. Turn it loose and let God do something with it. Amen. I'll go on. But that may be your giant. Your giant may be something that you're dealing with and battling. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's insecurity. Maybe it's something else. There's a giant that each of us must face and each of us must defeat if we're going to go on for the Lord. As we look at this passage of Scripture, like I said, I want to give you some statements. I got 9 of them. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to get out of here. I ain't wanting to keep you long, so you got to listen fast, all right? I want you to notice, first off, the first statement I want to make, the first truth that I found when in giant warfare is this. Your giant will provoke you in the valley. Your giant will provoke you in the valley. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we find out that Israel's on one mountain, Philistines are on the other mountain, but Goliath is making the challenge from down in the valley. And I'm going to say something, this is one of the most dangerous times in our life is when you and I are in the valleys. Because when you and I are in the valleys of our life, oftentimes our eyes ain't on God, our eyes are on our problems. It's fun on the mountaintop, and it's a wonderful place to be. And from the mountaintop, it seems like there's a lot of protection, and it seems like everything is beautiful from the mountaintop. But in the valleys of our life is when we struggle the most with our faith. Somebody tell me, if I'm telling a lie, let me know. If you ever lost somebody, and you lost them, you in a valley, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Everything in the world seems to come against you. Every thought in your mind seems to turn you away from God, because you have this thought, why didn't God save them? Why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do that? Everything that somebody says to you seems to cut you like a knife. And you look at yourself every day. You face your life every day. You wake up every morning and you pray, God, give me the strength just to get through this day. It's not on the mountaintops that your giant will come and battle you. It's in your valleys that the giant comes and battles you. And I say to a lot of people lose, come on now, a lot of people lose to their giant in those valleys. Say, preacher, come on now, I want to hear something good. You're going to hear something good. I want you to win in the valley. But I want you to also have the understanding that reality is this. A lot of people are defeated in the valleys of their life. Because that's when the devil likes to attack us the most. And that's when we're most vulnerable. When we're on the mountaintops, it's all about praise. It's all about giving God a glory for what He's done. It's all about looking back on the goodness of God and where He's brought us from. But when you're in the valley, the devil likes to sit up there on your shoulder and say, where's God at now? Where's God? What happened to your God? Where is He at now? I want you to know something. Your giant will come when you're in a valley. Say, well, I'm not in a valley right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Worship Him. Be happy about it. Praise the Lord. Give Him glory. But you better be careful, because it's coming. I say this, we can't all stay on the mountaintop. We got to go through the valleys. Somebody help me now. We got to go through the valleys. The fact of the matter is life is full of ups and downs. And thank God, my downs ain't as far down as they used to be. they're getting more shallow. Hallelujah. But there's still valleys to go through. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm on the mountaintop. I'm saying to make preparations for the valley. Because if you're not careful, the valley is where your giant will come against you, and the valley is where you'll walk away from God. The valley is where you'll surrender. I don't even know we get past first point here tonight. The valley's where you'll surrender and where you'll end up a servant. And not a servant to God. We see the giant will provoke you in the valley. We see that in verses 1 through verse number 3. In verse number 3, the very end of it says, and there was a valley between them. And go on in scripture, and of course we've already read it, where Goliath would come down into that valley and challenge them. The Bible even tells us that he did so, and he would do it, I think, for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says he come down into that valley, and he challenged them. I want to say this, your valley or your giant, he won't go away just because you ignore him. That's statement number two. Your giant won't go away just because you ignore him. The Bible is very clear on this, and it says that in verse number 16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Morning and evening. That's 80 times that he come out and said, hey, you want some of me? Just because we decide to ignore our giant doesn't mean that our giant goes away. We've been taught all during our lives. Come on, y'all. We've been taught in school. Now, if somebody's picking on you, you just ignore them. If somebody's messing with you, you just ignore them. That's what they're teaching kids today. Back in my day, if somebody picked on you, punched them in the mouth. Somebody help me right here. And if you did it enough, I need somebody to help. They quit picking on you. Yeah, I had a 17-year-old boy. I didn't tell this story this morning, but I had a 17-year-old boy in the neighborhood that he'd pick on me. I mean, he picked on me like nobody's. I don't know why, but I was in the neighborhood. I got bullied by everybody. And this joker, Sean, I remember it rained. And back when it rained, we didn't have no paved roads and stuff like that. I mean, when it rained, everybody showed up at our house because between our house and the next door neighbors, there would be a lake, all right, that would form anytime that it rained. And we would take plywood. We called it wump boards. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We'd take them pieces of plywood or a piece of fiberglass. We got a hold of some, they had some fiberglass roof panels. They're like tin. We got a hold of them things, man. We'd cut them down and get them just the right size. And, man, you get running and jump on that thing, and it just plane and just fly across that yard. And everybody in the neighborhood come to my house to do that because that was right between our two yards. Well, anyhow, this guy, he shows up, he's 17 years old. His younger brother was a friend of mine. And man, he just picked on me just relentlessly. And I can remember he threw me into the ditch in a mud puddle. And I mean, I had on a white shirt. I just got off school bus and he'd done this. And I got me a hold of, I've told this story, Brother Matt knows this story, but I got me a hold of a daggum galvanized piece of pipe. Somebody say amen. It's amazing how somebody, a little old 12-year-old, can run a 17-year-old. If he was a coon, he would have climbed a tree. Y'all hear me right now? I run him back to his house. I got to his house, and Brother Herman, let me tell you, he run in his house and locked his door like a little girl and stood back there going to the other side of the door. I guess he thought he was safe. I commenced to beating a hole through that door with that piece of pipe. His parents inside and everything else. A neighbor, he happened to be home and seen all of it happening. He came down and physically removed me from the property. At 12 years old, I was trying to beat my way in that house. I was going to end this bullying session. Somebody say amen. I'll never forget. I thought, dear Lord, I'm going to have to pay for the door and everything else. My daddy went down there and he took a gun with him. And they resolved the issue. It was amazing. And the guy never messed with me again. It was just great. Somebody say amen. But my point is this. You, sooner or later, you got to stand up to your giant. He's not going to leave you alone. The devil has made he's made a mess out of people's lives with his persistence. How many of you know somebody that's battled an addiction? And the devil over and over come at them over and over again. And they, hey, listen to me. They got by and they got through it many times. But eventually, I need somebody to help me now. He's persistent. And your giant, he's not going to go away just because you ignore him. You don't just walk around and say, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to, I'll just leave it alone. I won't have to worry about it. It'll go away. It'll take care of itself. Quit living in a fantasy world. Eventually, you're going to have to face your giant. Your giant will provoke you in the valley. Your giant will not go away just because you choose to ignore it. Number three, your giant's tactics is more about intimidation than anything else. It's more about intimidation than anything else. I was thinking of 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8, where it says that our adversary walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There's something about a roaring lion. As long as he's roaring, there ain't nothing in his mouth. Somebody say amen. He goes around, he makes a, hey, that roar scare you. That roar make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. But ain't no danger in that roar. The danger's in them teeth. Somebody help me now. And your giants, his tactics is more about intimidation than anything. And a lot of times we get so scared because of the size of our giant. I don't think I have the strength to fight it, preacher. We get scared because of the experience of our giant. This has been coming after me for a long time, preacher. We get scared because of the boldness of our giant. He'll show up in the middle of whatever. How many is that? Come on now. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? He don't pick and choose the best times to come showing up and fighting a battle. A lot of boldness in our giants. We see our giants' tactics is more about intimidation. Listen, don't let your giant intimidate you. Though he's powerful, he ain't got all power. I need somebody to help me right here. You got the Holy Spirit indwelling inside of you. If you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You got more power than what you give yourself credit for. And let me say this. It wasn't by David's might that Goliath was defeated. It wasn't by David's strong arm that Goliath was defeated. He said this, the battle is the Lord's. He said, he'll do it. He'll fight that battle. Can I say this about your giant? He's trying to intimidate you. If you'll ever get the mindset that the battle is the Lord's, if you'll ever get the mindset that there's more living, there's more power living in you than what you're having to face, you can defeat your giant. Say, is it easy? No. Didn't say it was easy. But I promise you this, you got more power living inside of you than what he's got standing in front of you. Your giant will provoke you in the valley. He won't go away just because you ignore him. His tactics are more about intimidation. How about this one? Your greatest discouragement will be from those you trust the most. And you and I fight our battles and fight our giants as David did here. As we move on in Scripture, we'll find that David shows up to the battle. And David, as soon as he gets there, Goliath stands out and defies the armies of Israel and calls for a champion. And David starts asking a question and says, what in the world's going on? Who's let this uncircumcised Philistine stand up there and talk about my God? He said, if y'all won't do it, I'll whip him. Now, you need to put this into perspective. He's standing in the middle of a bunch of soldiers. And this is a ruddy young man who's standing there saying, look, if y'all won't fight him, I'll go and deal with it. They're standing there with swords and spears and shields and helmets and breastplates and all these other things. And David's standing there in a shepherd's robe with sandals on, flip-flops. I need somebody to help me. A staff in one hand, a little bag tied around his waist and a sling in it. Now look, fellas, if y'all ain't going to deal with this man, if y'all ain't going to deal with this giant, I will. And what happens? The Bible says, verse number 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Here David is standing there in the power of God, the anointing of God, saying, I'll deal with this problem. And his brother, his oldest brother, his protector, the one that should have been supportive out of the whole group, is all of a sudden his biggest discouragement. Can I say that oftentimes when you and I have to face our giants, that the people that we trust the most are the ones that Satan will use to discourage us the most. Not only do we see David being discouraged by his brother, but we also see David being discouraged by Saul. Here's Saul. Saul's hiding out in a tent His knees are knocking together. The biggest man in Israel, and he's scared to go out and face this giant. And he's sitting in a tent, and David comes in. This little old boy said, I'll go out there, and I'll fight with him. And what does Saul say? And Saul said to David in verse number 33, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David not only found discouragement from his brethren, but he also found discouragement for those that was in authority in his life. You ever had something, man, you wanting to do something and God has put you into, God has got your, got you burdened and has called you to do something, and all of a sudden your family, they come against you and say, you ain't going to do that. You can't do that. I know who you are. I know what you're thinking. Y'all know my story, and y'all know this is exactly what happened. My mom, the one who drugged me to church. Now, I love her, and she's probably watching, and she's probably going to call me, and she's probably going to say she didn't say this. But I promise you my mama said this. I know her. I already know her, all right? But I'll never forget. God called me to preach. And me and Michelle made the decision that we were going to go to Bible college, and we were going to do it. And it was a giant for me. Because I was making very good money at the chemical plant. I was making a pile of money at the chemical plant. Anyhow, me and Michelle made the decision. My sister was having one of the girls, and Sarah Beth, the oldest, I guess, was being born at the same time. And I remember me and Michelle, I told Michelle, I said, I'm not going to take that away from Molly. This is her time. This is her first youngin', and we're going to let them celebrate this, that, and the other. And so I didn't announce it for about a week. Me and Michelle had already, we've been praying about it, and God been dealing with us. Anyhow, I was telling my family. Now, I knew, I felt certain that my daddy wouldn't be happy with it, and not for any other reason than I had a good job. I had good benefits and everything else. But my mama, I expected of anybody, of everybody, I expected my mama to be 100% on board. She drugged me to church, made me go to church all my life. I mean, I thought that she would be tickled to death. And the first thing out of her mouth, what you going to do about insurance? How are you going to pay for this? How are you going to do this? And I remember the one person that I was counting on, to be that encouragement and to say, you're making the right decision, was the one person that as soon as she said it, I thought, And she didn't mean nothing by it. My mama is very supportive of what we do, and she loves us. She watches us on Facebook. She does. But let me say this. It's oftentimes that our greatest discouragement in our when we're facing our giants are from those that are closest to us. And I say this. Not all Sunday school teachers and leaders in your church wants what's best for you either. Let me give you an example. A preacher, he's trying his best to build a church. You're one of his best church members, but God calls you to leave and go somewhere else. And through an act of pure, I don't even know what you'd call it. I'm trying to think of a good word, but an act of him not wanting you to go, him needing you there, he discouraged you from it. Same way Saul does with David here. And let me say, your greatest discouragement will oftentimes come from those you trust the most when facing your giant. Let's go, whatever number I'm on, I don't know. All right, your greatest challenge when facing your giant is going to be forsaking the ideology of the world. The world has its idea of how you need to fight your giant. But God's idea of it is completely different. Saul said, yeah, okay, you can go. Let me give you my armor. Let me give you my sword. Let me give you this shield. And you can go out to battle with him. But the Bible says that David said, no, man, I ain't proved none of this. In other words, David said, I don't trust any of this. My trust is in, I need somebody to help me. Boy, the world has it all figured out of how we need to get off of drugs, how we need to do this, how we need to fix our marriage, how we need to get saved, how we need to do this. This is how. They got self-helps for everything. Everybody's got a book out, how to raise children. They ain't got no children, but they got a book out, how to teach you how to raise children. They ain't got a successful marriage. They've been through 14 of them, but they can tell you how you're supposed to be married. Right, somebody help me now. And it goes on and on. It tells you all kind of stuff. They tell you how to do this. They tell you how to do that. But none of them have experienced it. And the world has every answer for anything that you're going through. And so many Christians turn to that. As soon as something happens in their life, they turn to this. They turn to Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil's got problems. Somebody say amen. Dr. Phil needs to come see me. I'll help Dr. Phil out, all right? Dr. Phil. Oprah. Oprah's got problems. Everybody all right with that? All right? Oprah needs to be saved or Oprah's going to burn in hell, all right? I know that hurts some of y'all's feelings because she give money to somebody. She ain't never give money to me, so I'm just going to be honest with you. She's going to die and go to hell if she don't get saved, all right? There's so many of us turn to worldly things when we have a battle in front of us. David said, I ain't proved any of these things. He said, what I do know is this. He said, a lion came against me, and he said, I killed him. He said, a bear come against me, and I killed him. He said, and this uncircumcised Philistine? Listen to me. I've seen God do more in a field with a bunch of sheep than what he's ever done in battle. And if he'll come to me, I'll kill him just like I did them, not because of me, but because of God. Your greatest challenge is going to be forsaking the ideology of the world that says you need to fix your problems this way and trusting God to fix your problems and fight your battle. The battle, David said, is the Lord's. He said it like this. Let me read it to you. He says, and all this assembly, verse number 47, shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. Man, if that don't illustrate what I just preached, I don't know what does. He says, verse number 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with man's methods, a sword and spear. He says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Boy, you better get out of that thinking that I got to do it like the world says to do it. Learn to fight your battles. Learn to let God fight your battles and trust him in them. All right, no matter your fears, this is the next statement. No matter your fears, you're already equipped to win. No matter your fears, you're already equipped to win. There's some of us that are scared to death to go fight the battle because we don't think we've got the right equipment to do so. But David was standing there, a young man, and he had a sling, he had his scrip, he had his staff, and he walked across that valley and he picked up 5 smooth stones. The whole time. Can y'all see this? 9-foot-9-inch tall Goliath standing on one side and David walking through picking up rocks. Goliath said, are y'all serious right now? David said, oh yeah, I'm real serious. As he's loading that sling. Huh? What are you doing? You playing helicopter? Mm-hmm. I sure am. He turned that thing loose. Boom, 9-foot-9-inch tall. Whop. Straight down. David was already equipped. Listen to me. David was already equipped to defeat the giant before he ever got there to face the giant. God has already equipped you to defeat your giant before you've ever stepped in the valley to face him. Trust God. Your armor, Ephesians chapter number 6. The Bible tells us that you and I have an armor. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You're already equipped. to beat your giant. Say this, the victory next, the victory over your giant depends upon your focus. The victory of your over your giant depends upon your focus. The Bible tells us in verse number 7, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Verse number 41, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Your victory over your giant is solely dependent upon your focus. David walked into that valley, not against Goliath, but against two men. There was two men standing in that valley. Though Goliath was the mouthpiece and though Goliath was the intimidating factor, there was another man that was standing in that valley with Goliath. There was a man that was standing in front of him with a shield. But you don't hear nothing about David killing him. Matter of fact, you don't see David addressing. You don't see David talk to him. You see David put one stone out of five in that bag, took one stone out, put it in a sling, and he fired that stone right into the forehead of his giant, not the shield bearer. Man, I'm going to tell you, if there was ever a way, a tactic that the devil uses to get us, it's to distract us from what our enemy truly is. The man carrying the shield wasn't a threat. It was a man behind that shield. And let me say this. Oftentimes in our battles and our fightings with our giant, we end up hurting everybody else except our giant. We hurt people in the church. We hurt people in our family. We hurt people that are trying to help us. All because they were close by. And we've lost our focus on what the real threat is and whom the real enemy is. And we hurt everybody else around us. And our giant, he's still walking out in the middle of our valley every single day and saying, come on. And we go back in the valley and hurt somebody else. This is good preaching. I don't care if you like it or not. We go back in the valley and we hurt somebody else. How many people have faced a giant in this church and hurt half the people leaving this church and they still facing their giant? They ain't defeated their giant. They still, every day they wake up and their giant is still just as real as it was when they were a productive member of this church. But they got in the battle and they lost their focus and they ended up hurting everybody else around him and never addressed their giant. The key to victory over your giant is to stay focused. Not only that, I got two more and I'm done. You better finish the job or you'll have to face your giant again. Bible says David took that stone, he slung it into Goliath's forehead and killed him. Said he went to the ground. David must have been worried somebody would knew CPR. Because David didn't have a sword, but he grabbed Goliath and he said, whoop, and he cut his head off. Hey, that don't get taught in Sunday school. Somebody say amen. Hey, we don't tell the little kids, hey, and David, we tell them about how David defeated Goliath, but we don't tell them this part of it. And David cut his head off. And David took his head and held it up for all of Israel to see. And David took it to his tent and hung the head in his tent so that he'd have a trophy of this man's head that he cut off. Isn't that a great Bible story? Somebody help me. You kids talk about, Mama, help me. I see Goliath's head hanging over in the corner. See, we just pick out parts of the Bible we want. We leave all the good stuff out. David cut the man's head off and took it as a trophy. Bugs and all in the eyeballs, stuff hang, tongue hanging out and everything else. Hung him up in his tent, said, that's what I did. Finish the job. That's Hey, so many of us, now listen, if your giant is somebody, don't cut their head off. Preacher didn't tell you to do that. But I will say this. When you get victory over your giant, finish it. Finish it, or he'll come back and you'll be fighting that giant again. Finish the job or you'll face your giant again. Lastly, give God the glory for victory. Give God the glory for victory. David gave God all the credit for defeating his giant. David gave God the credit through remembrance. We didn't like that little part with a head, and I did that for a reason. He took it to his tent, and he hung it up in his tent as a reminder. David had some memories of how powerful God was in his life. He had a bear, he had a lion, and now he had a giant. Later, David would find that sword. As he went into the temple, he found that sword. And as he went in there and found that sword, or that, not the temple, but the tabernacle, as he went in there and he found that sword, he said, there ain't none like it. It brought back memories of what God had done for him. This was a time when David was running from his life. This was a time when Saul was after him and Saul was trying to kill him. And he said to the priest, he said, I ain't got no sword. I ain't got nothing. He said, Goliath's sword's here. David said, woo, ain't nothing like that one. I held that one in my hand. I picked that one up. I cut that sucker's head off with it. I took it to my tent. Are you hearing me tonight? David did not forget what God had done for him. And he gave God the glory for it. Can I say this? Hey, so many of us, y'all want me to quit telling the stories about what I went through when I first got here. Listen to me. They're trophies. They're trophies of God's grace and what God did right here at Calvary Baptist Church. I don't want to ever forget about those things. I want to be able to tell folk, there was a bear that came up against me and God slew him. There was a lion that come up against me and God killed him. There was a giant that come out to defeat us, but God delivered him. David remembered. David rehearsed it. Ain't nothing like that, boy. There ain't another sword like that one. Don't you let somebody or anybody else get you away from repeating, remembering, and rehearsing God's blessings in your life. Give God the glory for the battle. Give God the glory for the victory. And live your life in such a manner where you look back in everything and say, it was God. It was God. Hey, David, man, you sure did it. Man, you did an awesome job down there in that valley. It was God. The battle is the Lord's. It was God who done this. The whole reason that I went down there, verse number 47, so all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I don't know what giants you're facing tonight, but I do know these truths right here will help you get victory over him. Stay focused. Stay focused. Finish the job. Give God the glory. Know that you're already equipped. God's given you everything you need to defeat that giant. Don't you be scared of him. He's just trying to intimidate you. Make preparations on the mountaintop for the battle that will ensue in the valley. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you so much. Lord, for tonight, for today, God, you've been good. Lord, people's been saved today. God, you've been honored, glorified, you've been worshiped today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you are well pleased. God, I pray tonight, Lord, as many of our church are fighting battles, Lord, some of them are fighting battles, Lord, of sickness, dealing with their health. Some are fighting spiritual battles. Some are fighting financial battles. There's giants, Lord, that they're going home to every night. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, you help us, Lord, to stay focused, to keep our eyes on you, our trust in you, not get caught up in the things of this world. With all heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder how many of you join me around the altar tonight. Maybe you're going through something. You're going through a battle. You're facing a giant. He's intimidating. Got you convinced that you can't win? Got you convinced that you're going down? Do you trust God tonight? Give that battle over to the Lord. Maybe tonight you don't know whether God's on your side or not. Maybe you have a head knowledge of who Jesus is and you know who he is, but you don't know him. You don't have a relationship with him. And right now you're fighting battles on your own. Maybe tonight God's been dealing with your heart. Maybe you was here this morning. God was dealing with you then. You be honest with me tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die." If that's you tonight, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to be honest with me. I'm not going to lie to you. I want you to be honest with me. Say, "Preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die." If that's you tonight, I want you to look right up at me. I'm not going to embarrass you. Not sending anybody to you. I just want you to be honest. Thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you for being honest with me. Is there anybody else? Not wanting to embarrass anybody. Not going to hurt anybody. I'm not. One look up at me, I'm going to pray, and I want you praying with me. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, there's been one, Lord, that's looked up and acknowledged their need of salvation. Lord, tonight I'm very aware that it's their choice, it's their decision. So, Lord, I give it over to you, Lord, ask you, Lord, to give courage, and Lord, strength. God, I pray that you give liberty. Lord, I pray tonight they come to a saving knowledge of you. With heads still bowed and eyes closed, if you looked up at me tonight, still not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, so don't worry about that. Not sending anybody to you. But if you'll let me, I got people that can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. It's your choice. You can leave out of here tonight knowing where you'd spend eternity. According to God's word. That's your choice, your decision. I won't make you, I won't press you, I'm not going to do anything like that, but if you won't, I want you to get up out of your seat and come right down here to the front. Your decision. Won't you come? God, for the work you've done here today and work you've done here tonight. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you be with these two as they walked out. Lord, give them clarity, thought, clarity, of speech. Give them understanding. Give them wisdom, discernment. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that he'll finish defeating his giant. Lord, he'll call upon you for salvation. God, thank you so much for loving us as unworthy as we are. Thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for your participation in our life. Lord, in defeating our giants. I'm thankful the battle is yours. God, I pray tonight we leave out of here with hands raised high in victory, knowing that you've already given us everything we need to defeat our giant. May we stay focused and God walk in the power of knowing that you are in control of it all. And Lord, the battle is yours and you will deliver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.